Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the Old Testament, there was a thing called old traditions, where, like Bill, the parents would tell their kids and about the stories of God and the miracles of God, and they would pass those down from generation to generation. They didn't have the Bible like we had, so they would rely on the old tradition of telling the stories about the miracles of God and the beginning. The Bible tells us in Joshua, they were about to cross over the Jordan, and they were to take stones and out of the river and set up an altar there. And he says, when children ask about what these stones mean, you tell them it's a memorial of how God has led his children to freedom. In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 23, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord, and that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come to your table, Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your life that you gave that we might have life. And Lord, may we never forget how much it cost. Oh, that it might be a gift to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, he died for us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So many times we take the blessings of God very lightly, without even thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ, without thinking about the death of Christ that purchased our freedom from fear, death, and hell. And we have been set free today by the blood of Jesus Christ. To all those who come to Christ and want to be free from the slavery of sin. You see, without Christ, you are, the Bible says, a slave to sin. And this morning, I want us to consider these memorials that we have of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper. Just read the scripture for it. The Lord's Supper is a memorial for us of the Lord's death. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body," which symbolizes the body which was broken. It refers to us that we might have life when we remember that. And we need to look at the death of Christ. Have you ever thought about his death upon the cross? So many times we talk about this at Easter when we see the crucifixion. We think about the cross, but we take it so easily when we see so many times a man that's put upon a cross, yet the Bible says Christ was beaten, bruised for our iniquities, suffered in our place. You see, he died as our substitute. It should have been you, should have been I upon the cross, but God so loved us that he sent his son, Jesus. To do this in remembrance of him means more than just sitting here today recalling the death of Christ. It means to stir up our minds so that we can meditate upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. This, when you remember my body, I want you to be stirred in your heart to realize what I've done for you up on the cross. He said, this cup that you'll be taking of is the new covenant in my blood. You see, God says, I'm going to establish a new covenant with my people on the basis of this covenant is the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And the reason for observing the Lord's Supper today, it's not a time that we come and just feast. It's not a time where we come just to fellowship, but to show the meaning of Christ's death upon the cross. He says, you are to proclaim this as you go. I believe we need to tell people about the blood of Jesus Christ, for it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sin. I believe we need to preach the blood of Jesus Christ and to declare that the Lord's death until he comes, the Bible says. When he comes back, we should be proclaiming, we should be preaching and declaring about Jesus' death. There's some misunderstandings today about the Lord's table. Some think it's a means of salvation. Oh, when we take of the cup, let me tell you, that is not so. Some think it was only for the early church to do this. That is not so. Some think that actually you can take this and it takes away sin. Not so. Some think that Christ offered up his body again and again and again. That is not so. You see, communion is a memorial, a picture of the Lord's death. And from this picture, we can learn, we can read about, we can learn of how we surrender to God and that it is a serious thing. He says some of you take the Lord's Supper lightly and some of you die. I believe when we take the Lord's Supper, we should go before God in our hearts and in our minds and say, Lord, I want you to show me the sin in my life, that when I confess that sin, I'll be right with you. You see, sin is a serious thing in our life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9:24 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. And it's through this new covenant we learn of the greatness of God's love. I said it a while ago, for God so loved the world. Folks, that's a great thing there. God so loved. Someone said, well, you know, did he love me? How could he love me? Well, God loves you today. He wants you to know that. He loves you. You see, the cost of salvation is he commended his son towards us. And while that we were yet sinners, he died for us. And the blood of Jesus that was poured out upon the cross was on the cost of his son, Jesus Christ, that we might have life, that we might have freedom from the sin. Sin. The old devil likes to cause us or trip us up or whatever, tempt us, that we might do something displeasing to God. I think when we are saved, we better watch out. I couldn't help but think about a life of a young person when they come to know Jesus Christ. If they don't stay in church, they don't get in church, they don't grow from the Word of God, they're kind of like a newborn babe. They're there and then they're not fed. They don't grow. Their growth is stunted. And before long, if they do not grow, if we do not see them to grow and teach them and train them about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, then the devil comes along and he robs them of that joy in their life, and they never live up to the full potential of what Christ wants for them in their life. You see, I believe, and I believe I preached on this a couple Sunday nights ago, that God has a perfect plan for each one of us. A perfect plan. He has a will for our life. And if we study the Bible and we pray and we seek God's face, then He's going to show us that will. He's not hiding His will from us. But He wants us to know that will so that we can get in on it and get in on life and live a life that He gives us of abundance. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone is going to preach, but we'll all be ministers as we go our way to tell about Jesus Christ. It simply means that when we get in God's will and we're doing His will, we'll understand a freedom that we have in Christ Jesus of being so happy that I'm walking with God on a daily basis. So, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, is a memorial of what Christ has done for us. And then baptism. Baptism is a memorial of Christ's burial and His resurrection. The believer, when we're saved, the believer is placed into or identified with Christ in His death. Did you know when a person by faith believes the Word of God and he asks Christ to come into his life, God takes that person's faith and counts it as the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He counts our person as having died with Christ. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Now, was He on that cross that day? No. Not physically. But Christ died for Paul. And Paul realized that when Christ died and when he accepted Christ's death, he died also with Christ. And you are identified with Christ's death. You are a partaker with Christ in death. You are bound with Christ in His death. And if the believer is counted by God as having been immersed into the death of Christ, we died to our sins. And we died to our penalty from sin. And we died to the judgment of sins. Friends, if you are in Christ, sin no longer has control of your life. Now, a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people miss that. And a lot of people live their Christian life as, I don't know how to overcome. I don't know how, the devil's always beating up on me. Friends, we need to believe God's Word. We need to understand that when Christ died, we died with Him. If we have asked Him into our life, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, the believer is simply placed into, or the believer is simply identified with the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God looks at that believer and counts that believer that is in Christ. I've got a message. I don't know where it is. I preached it years ago. It simply talks about the cross. One believer, on the two believers, they had sin on them. That means they were sinners. They had sin upon them. They had the judgment of God upon them. One of them had that sin removed because over Christ, He died for our sins. There was no sin upon Christ, you see. And when Christ, that believer, trusted Jesus Christ that day, Jesus looked at him, and upon his cross, it would have been forgiven, you see. He died with Christ that day. And Jesus says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Friends, we are placed into that death and that resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Identified, partakers. Now think about it. Christ died. He lay aside his old life. He left it behind. A true believer puts off the old man, the old flesh, and puts on the new man, righteousness in Christ. The Bible says we're to take off that old man when we are in Christ and to put on the new man in Christ. Baptism is simply following Jesus Christ. Baptism is being obedient to Jesus Christ. Baptism is that public identification with Jesus. Kendall was baptized a while ago. He was taken under the water, representing the death of Christ, burial of Christ, washing away, rising anew to walk again with Christ. Oh, that's that new birth, folks. That's a new heart in Him, a new life, a new creature. We're not the same anymore. Once you identify with Jesus Christ, you are a new man. And the Bible says, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That's what we should do. I don't take this Lord's Supper lightly. It is a serious thing when we talk about the cross and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a serious thing when we talk about baptism, for we are identifying with Christ. And the Word of God says, now that you are in Christ, that you've been raised to walk in the newness of life, you walk ye in Christ. Since you have received Christ, you walk more closely today with Jesus Christ. And when we leave this place today, we ought to keep that in mind. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, the Bible says. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I walk with Christ every step of the way. Every step I take, God takes that step with me because He's now in my heart. I've identified with Him. Folks, there's many a Christian out there in the world that the devil's defeated them. They're defeated and they're not walking with Christ. They're leading people astray today by the life they live. I don't want to do that. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to walk in a newness of life, a Christ-likeness in life. Listen to what 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto ye were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Every time I take of the Lord's Supper, every time I see a baptism, Oh, my heart is stirred. The Christ-like life is a memorial that the Lord Jesus Christ left us to walk like Him. He is our example. And the one thing that God wants us to do is be genuine in our life towards Him. He wants believers to live like Christ. Live what they profess. I think more damage is done in our churches by Christians than non-believers. You see, Christians are to live an example. That means when we go to a restaurant, we ought to pray for our food instead of just sitting down and somehow say, well, I don't like to do that, preacher, because people are watching. So what? God's also watching. Are you ashamed to pray? And it's not only that. Everywhere we go, we need to watch what we say. I get tickled sometimes at these parents at ball games. You'd never know they're Christians by the way they're hollering. The things they say, that poor referee gets an earful. You know, we ought to live like Christ. Set that example. The world is watching. And if we live like the world, we are a bad testimony for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to follow Him so closely, to bear whatever sufferings that we need to bear to follow Him on a daily basis. You see, your life, someone said this years ago, your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read. Jesus said every word and every deed should remind people of Jesus Christ. To declare the Lordship of Christ in you. Let me ask you this morning, who rules your life? Someone will say, well, I do. Well, if you do, you're wrong. Christ should rule your life. He should be on the throne in your life. You see, that's why He says, when you do this, you remember this bread. You remember this cup, and you proclaim my death till I come. There's many in our churches today that need to be free, that need to just let Jesus set them free. Someone said, you know that old passage of Scripture, the truth will set you free? The truth is Jesus Christ. John 8:32 says, the truth shall make you free. Jesus is what you need today. You need Him in your life. You need Him in your talk. You need Him in your walk. You need the power of God in your life. The Bible says He is sufficient to meet all needs in Christ Jesus. So there you have it. A memorial. This is a memorial that we should think about how He died and proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, till He comes. To live that Christian life till He comes. To walk in a newness of life till He comes. There's some here today that's never acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I don't know who you are, but if you're that person today that deep down inside you'd say, preacher, I don't know Christ. I don't know. I'm still a slave to sin, and I would like to be free from that today. Jesus can set you free, but you must come to Him. He's done it all on the cross. He died for you. He paid the price for you. He's your substitute. All you have to do is call upon His name. And by calling upon His name, you're simply saying, I want Christ to come into my life today. Lord, would you come into my life today? He said, I will, if you want me to. And make that knowledge public. Say, I'm coming to Christ today, preacher. I'm going to come down and I'm going to follow Christ. All in baptism. I'm going to identify with Christ with my life. Not only today, but every day. I want to walk in the newness of life. Some of you are here. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you're like me. Boy, we have a battle going on. We have problems in our life. We do things that are displeasing to God. And we need to just come and kneel at the cross and say, Lord, today, would you take that sin, take that life away and let me live for you like a Christian should live. Rededicate your life, recommit your life, whatever you might call it, but you mean it with all your heart. It's not something that you just do just because it's the Lord's Supper Day. It's something that you do because Christ has convicted you. You know, maybe it's to tell somebody, you know, I need you to forgive me for this. I don't know. But the Lord will show you if you'll ask Him. And to some of you, you've been out of church and you need to get back in church. And man, what a day of rejoicing when you get back right with God. Some of you are looking for a church home. And if this is the place that God's led you, why not come today? It's a beautiful day. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day we're going to pause and remember His death till He comes. Whatever it is you need to make right, I want you to do it today before we take the Lord's Supper. For the Bible says that's what we should do in our life. If there's anything out of way in our life, get it right with God before we take. It's a serious thing. When it's passed by you, if you have sin in your life and you know it, you don't take it. You'd be better off passing it by. That's what Christ says. Let's take it seriously. That's what Christ says. In remembrance of Him, proclaim, preach, declare, till I come. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the blessings of life that you give us. Lord, may we all just search our own heart, not worrying about what other people are doing, but let you speak to our heart in that still small voice. And if there's something in our life that we need to get straight, Lord, may we just come to the altar and kneel and get it right today. Or stand where we are and we can't kneel. Lord, that we just know that you want to hear our voice, just ask Him. Speak out to Him. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made today, Lord, may we make those decisions. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.